half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Today, it is my pleasure to have Lene Jacks as my guest. She is the Industry Communications and Engagement Manager for the Oregon Coast Visitors Association, fondly known as OCVA. She's going to tell us about the mission, the vision of the Oregon Coast Visitors Association and their new programs, their sustainability initiatives, the Kind Traveler Program, how we can coast like a local, how locals can be involved in volunteering, the Blue Foods Forum, a seafood trail, so much exciting information about how we can participate in being good examples of how to live on our coast, whether we live here full time or we're visiting. So welcome, Lene Jacks. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, before we talk about the Oregon Coast Visitors Association, let's talk a little bit about Lene Jacks. Why don't you give our listening audience a little brief background history on yourself, please?
Thank you. My name is Lene. And I grew up in California, but I actually, I grew up visiting the Oregon Coast a lot as a kid because it's where my grandmother is from. And I've worked in communications for a long time, but I actually moved to Iceland in 2020 to study tourism and regional development. And I had my own tourism company up there for a couple of years. So when it was time for me to move back to the US, there was this role with the Oregon Coast Visitors Association that just lined up so perfectly with what I had studied and the work that I did in Iceland. And so it's been really, really cool to be back in this place that I spent so much time as a kid. And that connection to place is really special for all of us who work at OCVA. So that's kind of how I got into the tourism world. And I've really been excited to get to help OCVA implement some of their incredible programs.
Yes, and Iceland has certainly been a leading, you know, guiding light in, you know, what does sustainability look like? How do we protect our fragile ecosystems? You know, how do we educate not only the people who are visiting, but also the people who are living here? So let's talk about the mission and the vision of the Oregon Coast Visitors Association. Can you please tell us more about that?
Yes. So the Oregon Coast Visitors Association is a destination management organization. And our mission specifically is that we inspire travel to the Oregon coast for one, but we also are really working on strengthening a sustainable coastal economy all the way around and through. And we do that through innovation and stewardship and different strategic investments and programs. And I can kind of explain a little bit more about what a DMO is. So you might know about Travel Oregon, which is the statewide destination management organization that tries to get people from all over the country and the world to come to Oregon. Well, within Oregon, there are seven distinct regions, and the coast is one of them. So we work with Travel Oregon, and then we destination management organize for the coast. And then we work a lot very closely with some of the smaller destination management organizations like Visit Lincoln City or the Chamber of Commerce in Cannon Beach to kind of help market tourism all along the coast.
And what's really crucial, though, since there has been a backlash against too much tourism and the infrastructure that, you know, doesn't exist for so much, really, Oregon Coast Visitors Association is one of the very first organizations to say we need to partner with our state parks, and we need to partner with the BLM and the Forest Service and all the stakeholders, and we need to think about how we are protecting our ecosystem and how we are working together. And that was really a brand new innovative thing that the Oregon Coast Visitors Association did. And also, you do a resident sentiment survey because you want it to be for the people who live there as well. And so that's a challenging, kind of tricky balance, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. Hit the nail on the head there. I mean, tourism affects all of us who live here. And as tourism grows, as it has in the past decade, we really have to have our ear to the ground and hear what that means for people all along the coast in our small communities, the people that live here and make a living here. You mentioned the land managers and the forest managers. And yes, we have programs where we bring together leaders from all of these different kinds of land management agencies, because they're all seeing really different things in very different types of environments on the coast. You know, the problems on the North Coast are going to be really different from the ones on the South Coast, where you have the dunes and different kinds of wildlife needs. So we meet often with a group of folks who can speak to what they're seeing and hearing, and then we can come up with solutions together on how we can best invest our time and money and resources to making sure that as we do promote tourism, we're also promoting sustainability and good stewardship methods, so that we can give good messaging to the tourists that are here, help them take better care of this place, spread out some of that tourism traffic so it's not as heavy in places like the North Coast. A huge part of our work is just really listening and responding to the needs of our community.
Right, because the North Coast is more, there's heavier traffic, there are the cruise ships in Astoria, it's closer to Portland, clearly people can, however, so you're trying to look at the shoulder season when people aren't typically traveling and trying to put people into the Central and the South Coast. And so the North Coast is from Astoria to Neskowin, the Central is Lincoln to Florence, and the South is Reedsports to Brookings. So all 363 miles of the Oregon coast are what you all have to work with. Wow, that's huge.
It is huge, yeah. And we also love that 363 miles of public coastline. That's kind of like our claim to fame, is that like this is Oregon's coastline is open and free for all to the public. And then, yeah, as you mentioned, the three very distinct regions. And the North Coast definitely receives the bulk of the heavy tourism traffic, especially in the summer, because we're getting a lot of weekend trips and day trippers from Portland. So a big part of our overall strategy is thinking about ways that we can help spread out some of that traffic to the Central and South Coast. The South Coast is starting to see more of an uptick in visitation, but even in the summer, it's still pretty quiet compared to the North Coast. So we invest in programs and trails and things like that in all of these different regions, so that there is more for people to do when they get there. Also we look at shoulder season and that, like, what kind of activities can we promote in November or in the spring when it's a little bit colder? Things like gravel cycling, things that people can kind of do in the cold. That's the sort of things that we're thinking about. You know, how can we strategically spread people out into these less busy times?
And let's talk about your support of Oregon's commercial fishing industry. Local fishermen, local fish. That's really important.
Yes. So we think about food and we talk about food a lot because, one, you know, what are you doing as a visitor? You're eating three meals a day on your trip, but so are the locals. And so anything that we invest in for tourism is also an investment in our own local economy. And food is so central to all of that. And here on the coast, one of our main, you know, our main industries is the fishing industry. But there's a staggering statistic that 90% of all of our seafood that is landed on the Oregon coast gets exported. So really, most of the food that we as locals and our visitors are eating in restaurants is not even from here. So we are very, very interested in changing that and making it easier for everybody to buy and eat local seafood.
Can you tell us, there is going to be a launch of a seafood trail? Can you tell us a teeny bit about that? That's a brand new thing.
Yes, definitely. So there's a lot going on behind the scenes trying to figure out where local seafood is and how we can get more of it to local suppliers, restaurants, and stores. So that's one part of the problem, sort of one side of the work. And then the other side is, how do we make sure that visitors know that it exists and where they can find it? So the seafood trail that's going to be launching the next, I believe, month or two, is going to be a system that allows visitors and locals to be able to see easily in one place which restaurants and stores are serving majority Oregon caught seafood. It won't be all because that's very, very hard to do, but we're kind of tracking and coming up with a system so that we can delineate which restaurants are serving a really good majority of Oregon seafood and working with local suppliers and really just kind of like in this more sustainable local seafood economy.
And that's really important and wonderful. We just had Fisher Poets Gathering in Astoria, and of course, eat wild fish, you know, support local fishermen. And would you just briefly tell us a little bit about the Blue Foods and the Blue Foods Forum that just happened?
Yeah. So at the beginning of February, we sponsored an event called the Blue Foods Forum. It was 2 days of events that brought in suppliers, fishers, growers, like just really people from all across the Oregon food landscape who have an interest in using more local seafood in whatever it is that they make and sell and create. And it was also an event to bring in researchers and policymakers and funders to just generate excitement around the momentum that's happening right now in what we call the Blue Foods movement, so to speak. And it's a term that maybe a lot of people haven't heard before, but Blue Foods really refers to just any food that comes from the ocean. And that's not just fish, it's crab, it's shrimp, it's seaweed, which we are able to kind of grow in aquaculture systems now and use in so many different culinary dishes. And so it really just kind of refers to this whole exciting, innovative, creative system that's kind of coming up around how we can be better stewards of our ocean resources and our food, which so much of it comes from the ocean. So the Blue Foods Forum was really just a way to generate excitement around that. It was the second annual one, so we kicked off the first one last February. And this one, I think we've doubled attendance. We kicked it off with a huge seafood seafaring speakeasy with over 350 people who got to try a lot of incredible creative food that was made with local Oregon caught seafood. And then we hosted a lot of conversations with panelists who are doing innovative work in this space, who are trying to find funding for projects and businesses that will keep more of our seafood local and utilize more of the fish that we catch here so that it's worth more in our local economy. For example,
yeah, go ahead, please.
Oh yeah. For example, like if we catch, if we catch a fish, it's a lot of it goes to landfill and waste. So how can we use more of the fish to make it worth more? We can use collagen for fish protein products. We can use it for pharmaceuticals and cosmetics, for fertilizer. So we are just really excited to be kind of stimulating and part of the conversation about how to keep more of the fish circulating in our local economy, because that's what strengthens our economy and resilience for the future.
Yes, the Blue Foods Forum took place in Portland, didn't it?
It did, yes.
Yeah. So then the third annual will come next year. So, wow, you have a lot to think about. And also, because you are marketing the Oregon coast, you are marketing it not just to people out of state, you are within the state, you're inspiring travel to the coast, and you're also wishing to let people know how to live and be a responsible caretaker of our resources. So you have programs. There's for people who are traveling, there's something called the Kind Traveler Program. Could you tell us about that?
Yes, definitely. So we have partnered with a company called Kind Traveler, and basically what the premise is they partner with hotels and with nonprofits. And any hotel or lodging partner that signs up, you work it into your agreement that there's a line item on the bill that says you're donating, like just like a tiny percentage of your stay is going to be donated back into the community through a partnership with one of these local nonprofits. And so, for example, the Bowline Hotel in Astoria is one of our 11 hotel partners on the coast. And so people that stay at that hotel, a super small portion of that stay goes to one of the North Coast nonprofits, for example, the North Coast Land Conservancy. And so through this program, people are able to choose where they stay and know that that money, a little bit of that money, is going right back into work that is happening in the backyard of that place. So it's not just, you know, any random fund. It's actually like regionally specific, and they get to see on the dashboard exactly where that money is going and what kind of work is happening because of those dollars. So it's a really, really exciting program. We're going into our second year with them, and it's growing really quickly. It's been very encouraging just to see the number of lodging partners that want to be a part of it. And we're just, you know, we're always very inspired by how much our tourism partners up and down the coast understand and want to be a part of giving back and like being good stewards of tourism in our region.
Yes, and I'm excited for us to talk about the Coast Like a Local program and how locals living on the coast can volunteer, can be involved in this stewardship. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn, and today I have Lene Jacks. She is the Industry, Communications, and Engagement Manager for the Oregon Coast Visitors Association, which looks at the entire 363 miles of the Oregon coast, North Coast, Central Coast, South Coast, and tries to figure a way to protect and, you know, be good stewards of our resources along the coast as we help the economic viability of these towns that are up and down the coast. It's a really tricky balance to maintain, and you all are doing an amazing job, actually. What is the Coast Like a Local program?
Coast Like a Local is, at its heart, it is a stewardship messaging marketing campaign. And the idea behind it is that, you know, the visitors that are coming to the Oregon coast, they might not know just how unpredictable the things can be out here. You know, the coast has, we can have crazy weather. We have big storm swells, and just life out here is a little bit more rugged and maybe intense than some people know. And so we see this a lot in the winter, especially where, you know, people get really close to big sneaker waves. And we want to make sure that the visitors that are coming here, one, are recreating responsibly and safely, but two, also know how they can take care of this place with us as locals. So Coast Like a Local came from the idea that, you know, research shows that visitors, they don't want to just come to a place and stick out like a sore thumb. They want to have a really authentic experience where they can experience what it might feel like to live here. And so we can kind of help that happen by, as locals, one, knowing how to take care of where we live, and how to be safe and recreate responsibly. And that includes things like, you know, knowing what to do in the case of a tsunami evacuation, or knowing how far back to stay from wildlife on the beach, or knowing not to climb on sea stacks, or, you know, how to interact with tide pools. And when the locals know these things really, really well and can kind of act them out as, you know, be the points of reference and lead by example, then eventually the visitors will follow suit. They'll see that behavior and they'll want to imitate it. And then over the years and over time, everybody will just start to, you know, have a better relationship with this place, which builds long-term sustainability and resilience. So we're really putting out messages around this that are, it's encouraging visitors to know what the locals know, but it's also encouraging the locals to be good examples.
Yes, and so whether it's beach safety or, you know, don't touch anything in the tide pool or whatever it is, yes, those messages are really important. And your website, the ACVA website, I really encourage all of you who are listening, go to that website. Not only can you can request a travel guide, you can find out so much information, and including ways to volunteer. Let's talk about some of the ways that local people can volunteer to help keep the coast, you know, Well, everything changes, obviously. It's just, can we kind of help manage change in a way that is, you know, responsible and sustainable and all of that? So how can locals be involved with this good stewardship messaging and programs?
Yeah, volunteering is one of the main things that we tell visitors that they can do when they come here. A lot of people are looking for ways to, you know, get more involved in kind of have a, like I said, like have a really authentic experience. So visitor facing, one of the ways that we tell folks that they can do that is by volunteering. Just spend a morning or an afternoon doing a beach cleanup, or they can do a trail maintenance day. And there's so many opportunities, like whether they have 2 hours to help do trail maintenance or come out for a weekend camping trip and make friends working on a trail. And then if someone's interested in science, there's citizen science programs that allow you to come out and take pictures and track changes over time in like the changes in king tides, or beach surveys where folks can help track things like wildlife changes or beached bird surveys. There's just so many opportunities, one for the visitors to get involved when they're out here, but also for the locals, especially those of us who, you know, we have more time here to get trained to do some of these things that maybe require a little bit more intensive time or a more consistent time commitment. There are tons of opportunities that we have, and we've kind of collected and curated a list of those on our website, which, as you mentioned, is a wealth of so much content and information. So we definitely want to encourage folks to check that out.
And one of the things we I'd like us to mention too is this accessibility work that you're doing to try to allow folks who are dealing with disabilities in some way to be able to experience the coast. Why don't we just briefly touch on that?
Yeah. This is huge. This is a huge investment point that we've been focused on over the last couple of years. We talked earlier about the 363 miles of public coastline that's open for all. And we really take that to mean that we want to make sure that this place is inclusive and accessible to all people. And that's not just a stance that we, as a destination management organization, have taken. It's actually something that we have seen all of our coastal tourism partners really champion. We've seen so many different communities and organizations purchase beach wheelchairs and track chairs that allow people who use wheelchairs to get into these chairs that take you up and over sand dunes. And then we now have 11 Moby mats at different beach locations up and down the coast. And those are plastic portable pathways that get rolled out from the parking lot all across the sand so that people with mobility issues can actually get out onto the beach. And this has just been a really huge way that actually changes the way that people travel here, but also the way the locals get to experience where they live, because a lot of people who are in wheelchairs couldn't get out onto the sand. And then when these get placed on the beaches, it changes everything. And it's just such a beacon of joy and hope for everybody. So these are the kinds of investments that we're very excited about right now, because they are allowing more people to get to experience the coast more fully.
Well, the coast, I mean, there's so much that being on the ocean, being on the Oregon coast does for a person, whether it's mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, in every way, and whether you're taking your dogs out. And that's another way, be responsible, clean up after your dogs on the beach. That's really, really important. This accessibility is terrific that you're doing that. And again, we want the coast to be for everyone. However, it is those of us who live on the coast, we're fortunate enough, really have to take a leadership role in taking care of and stewarding these incredible, fragile resources. So we only have a few minutes left, Lene. Any last things you would like the listening audience to do, to know about, that maybe we haven't talked about?
Yeah, definitely want folks to check out our website, specifically the Coast Like a Local page, for more information on all of these opportunities that I've talked about and just the things that locals can know to better lead by example. And also all of those volunteer opportunities they're going to find there as well. And then the other thing that I think would be awesome is just, you know, think about more ways that you can shop local and find local seafood when you are going out to eat, or also when you're just grocery shopping. Our website will list out a lot of places that you can buy local seafood. And we also have a ton of recipes for how you can incorporate local seafood into what you're cooking at home. So the more we can do that, the more we're going to invest in the future of a really, really strong food economy as part of our tourism economy.
Yes. And there is something for everyone. I mean, there really is a way to be engaged, and again, on your website, there are lots of ideas. One of the things that I have been impressed with in knowing and watching the Oregon Coast Visitors Association evolve over the years is its ability to pivot and change when circumstances are changing, and that's really crucial as we see the uptick in visitors, along the coast, and we think, okay, well, what challenges are new now that we now have to look at? And that ability to be nimble and make those changes has really made your organization a leader. In our entire country, actually. I mean, to work with our partners in natural resources while trying to promote and define what sustainable tourism looks like, working with the local people. That's really important, and I honor you all for doing that.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we're just this work is so important, and we take it very seriously, and it's an honor to be able to steward this place for the locals that live here. I also just thought of one more call to action, if I can say it too, is that folks should take the resident sentiment survey. It's live right now. So are we able to link that in show notes or something?
I don't know. Very, is it possible for us to do that? Because that's a great idea. So you have a residence sentiment survey, and all of you listening can be really helpful to this organization by filling that out. So you're saying that, is there a link on your website?
It's Travel Oregon's. It's a statewide resident sentiment survey. So it's on Travel Oregon's website, and I can get the link out too. Make sure it's easy to find.
That's a great way to be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Are you telling us? Oh, yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, please, the link.
Oh, the link is, you know what? It is, I would just tell folks to go to search it, because the link is a very long and difficult link, but I will send it to you too if there's a way that we can kind of get it into notes after this.
Okay, but if you maybe just Google Travel Oregon resident sentiment survey, then you can weigh in, and that would be great.
Yes.
Lene, thank you so much for the good work you're doing, for making time to talk today, and really appreciate it. And thank you for continuing on in this good way.
Thank you, Donna.
And Viri, thank you for engineering today. I'm so appreciative, and my gratitude also to local banjo instructor Michael Byrne for his original theme music for this program. Talk of Our Town airs the first Thursday of each month. And thank you for joining us and being part of the KMUN family.